The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, you can download all of our programs from our podcast. Just go to any podcast app that you have and just type in From the Median or the interview you're hearing, and it'll pop up. So do that and spread the good news about all the incredibly wonderful guests that we have on the program. We have another wonderful, wonderful guest joining me right now. In fact, we just realized that I have very recently had him on the program to talk about another book. He's an author. He's in all kinds of wonderful things, but I had him on to talk about one of his previous books. Of course, I am talking about Dr. Greg Jantz, and Dr. Jantz is a certified eating disorder specialist, certified chemical dependency counselor, a national certified psychologist, and a licensed mental health counselor. He's the author of 40 books, so no wonder I've had him on the program before. He is also the founder of The Center, a place of hope. And of course, we will have all of this information ready for you when you go to our website. Dr. Jantz, great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, we always have fun and interesting topics.
We sure do. We sure do. And it sounds like you are a busy guy in the background there. I can hear you doing all kinds of wonderful things.
I am alive and well. Good to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have just written another book, and in fact, it's not your latest. I'm going to maybe get you back on for another one again so that we can just keep talking about all these great things, these wonderful little books that keep putting out. And this one is called, the one we're going to be talking about is called Find Your Purpose in Life. Greg, tell us about why did you write this book?
Well, one of the issues over the last 39 years at the Center, a place of hope. So we're a facility where people come from all over the country, help for depression, anxiety, addiction. But one of the themes is, as we walk through recovery and we have healing in significant areas of our life, it's like, okay, what's next? What is my purpose? What is my life direction? What am I supposed to do? I'm no longer bound up in addiction, for example, and what am I called to do? So that's an important piece, and that's really where this wonderful little 100-plus page book came from.
This is great that you do these smaller books, because to be quite honest with you, Greg, what I find personally for myself, I am so crazy busy. I've got so many things to do. Sometimes all I want to do is to sit down and read something really quick, do it, read it, think about it, and it's done. Not that it's done, but it's impacted me and I've come to the end of the story, so to speak.
Yes.
This seems to be the way you do this.
Yes. I find that people's attention span and concentration, you know, it's shorter.
Yeah,
and so
you're right.
If I can find a way, I mean, I have to compete against social media and technology, but if I can find a way to give you the information as easily as possible, so you can begin to create a plan. You know, hope comes when we start to get a plan. So that's what this is all about.
Okay. So you can, folks, if you want to have a look at all the books that Dr. Jantz has already written, I suggest you go to his website, which is drgregoryjantz.com/books. You'll see all the books there and you can order them. And you know, I recently spoke with somebody, Greg, about who said to me that the authors that we highlight are just phenomenal. And she said, bookshelf is overflowing now because we find all these great authors that are there and that we can actually go to and find what we're looking for. This is what you do with all of the books that you've written. So folks, if you want to get all of Dr. Jantz's books or just this one, Find Your Purpose in Life, go to his website, drgregoryjantz.com. Let's dive into the book. You know, we are in the thick of something going on in here in Ohio right now with regards to the abortion issue.
Yes.
So it's been very, very traumatic for many people who realize that there's so many people around us that actually don't believe that God made us with a specific purpose. Is this part of where you come from, that God created us with something in mind?
Oh, I believe God, there's a plan for everybody. And I do know that as human beings, sometimes we make decisions that kind of pull us off course at times, but God has a way of realigning us and getting and using everything we've done for good and getting us back on the course he has for us. Now, what does that look like? Well, I think as we remove issues in our life, with fear, anxieties, treat depression, those things that could be a block, if it's addiction, whatever form, and we begin to address those issues, purpose and meaning reemerge. And we all have very unique gifts and talents. And I see this with people, and I see that suddenly there's a direction that feels joyful. There's a direction that feels like fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, that's an interesting thing, because one of the things you state is that about 25% of Americans, when you survey them and ask them, they have say that they have a clear purpose in life. That's quite scary in lots of ways, because I think when you don't know that you have or feel you have a purpose in life or know your purpose in life, that becomes a hindrance to the whole society, don't you think?
Yes. Well, so often, you know, we're seeing, and I keep saying addiction because we're seeing addiction rates grow so substantially. So as we look at this, you know, addiction is one of the things that'll throw us off course, and we will not feel like we have any purpose and meaning. And so my encouragement is address any emotional issue, address issues in your life, because that's going to be the first step to a plan of hope and a beginning of some freedom. And you know, sometimes we feel, okay, am I doing the right thing? God will guide you. It will happen, and tough times will be redefined, and you will probably be ministering to people in ways you've never imagined.
Mm. Wow. What about our young people? Dr. Jantz, I find that, you know, when we do find young people that are fulfilled, it is like a ray of sunshine. But we've got so many young people around us who are seeking to find that purpose. How do we reach out to them? What is your advice to them?
Yes, we have a generation, and I think the word apathy may describe an apathetic, because they're not seeing there's a lot of hope for their future. Psychologists have actually kind of coined a new term to describe what's going on, and the term is unique. It's called foreshortened future.
Huh.
A foreshortened future. And all they're saying is there's not hope for the future, there's apathy, and it's like, why does it even matter? And so, yes, not only is that discouraging to hear, but we have a generation of youth through social media, through everything that's going on, that is, you know, telling them there's not a future and a hope.
Mm-hmm. The social media issue is such a huge one. You know, it's so funny. I watched we've lived in the same place for 30 years, and my kids have grown up where we live, and, you know, they've all gone through the school systems. They've all got their own school kids now. They're back into the same school system. So we're right in the same place. And I cannot tell you the difference in the generation when my kids were going to school and getting off and walking back home, and everybody, you know, smacking each other with their book bags and, you know, tossing footballs and doing all kinds of things up and down the road as they were walking back to their homes. You know, honestly, Greg, right now, there's not a sound. The kids get off the bus. There's hardly any talking. Everybody's back on their phones. They walk with their faces glued onto these phones. There's no banter. There's no playing. This is, I'm not surprised they see no future. It's really, really concerning. And you have to be seeing this with the work that you do.
We're seeing the age range 10 to 17 is particularly concerning. There's a lot going on for that age range. We've got obviously overuse of screens and social media. We know right now across our country, the 10 to 17-year-old suicide is the second leading cause of death.
Oh, my goodness. I did not know that.
So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. So there's a huge need for Dr. Jens's book. Please, folks, if you have children, go get it, read it, see what you can, let's find purpose for these. And it's called Find Your Purpose in Life. And Dr. Gregory Jens is the author of the book. We need to get this into the hands of all of our parents, everybody that needs this information, get his book. And as he said, it's only 100 pages long. Just get that, read it, and start the journey to helping our young people. I think that's incredible. What do you also talk in the book about looking backwards in order to look forward. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, one of the things that we're looking at is what are patterns what are patterns we may have had that could potentially be destructive. Also, look at patterns and gifts and talents. What were the things you were doing when you were young? And we begin to see, some kids, like early on, you begin to see they're a merchant, they're entrepreneurial, they're selling things at 5 years old, and they have a whole theme of this in their life. So what are themes that we see?
Yeah. So absolutely, absolutely. You also talk about you have a list of 10 things to cultivate optimism, and that is huge, huge. I love that, because optimism is where you start to build your purpose. I think if you're optimistic about your future, you're going to build that future. So, give us a couple of those cultivated ways to build optimism.
Yes, optimism means I have a positive view of my future. Optimism can be, this maybe it seems a little rare right now for many, but think about gratitude. Think about developing even a gratitude journal. Gratitude is fascinating. My wife that went through cancer treatment and chemo, we had a couple years that were pretty dark. And during those dark days, my wife started a gratitude journal every morning, writing. And this has been now years, and she's over 27,000 gratitudes.
Oh, wow.
And I said, how do you think of 27,000? But it's just a little bit every day.
Yeah.
But here's what stood out. She said, I think it was one of the things that God used to save my life. Gratitude. So we began to look at, do we love to be around people who are grateful? Are they optimistic? Yes. Do they tend to be accepting and loving? Gratitude is powerful. Mm-hmm. We know over time, gratitude will even help alter brain chemistry. People that are grateful have more dopamine in their brains. And so it has a health effect as well. Interesting. Anyway, gratitude is being studied, and there's interesting studies. It's powerful. I think it's powerfully biblical as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a really important one. Man, if we just focused on that one. And then the other one I just want to mention briefly is, of course, our relationships. Who are the 3 to 5 people in your life that really believe in you, that really speak a good word over you and your life? They know you, and they know that God has a calling on your life. Who are those people? So important to look at.
Wow. Any others? I love this. I think this is so important for us to understand this. Are there others that you can think of that you in your 10 things, 10 ways?
There's, if you think, okay, optimism. Well, am I around the optimistic people in my life that really do believe me? The other one I want to mention is cultivating optimism means I've got to have a system of self-care.
Huh.
And self-care means everything from sleep how, and you know, we're in a sleep epidemic. There are so many sleep disorders these days. And so how am I taking care of myself? Sleep, nutrition, spiritual renewal. Look at what am I doing that really cares for myself, that keeps me strong physically? Am I doing something as simple as drinking water?
Mm-hmm,
just talking to somebody the other day, go, you know, they average 10 to 12 cups of coffee a day and zero water.
Wow.
Well, that's probably not going to do what you need it to
exactly.
do.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So the whole
area of self-care is really
absolutely
powerful.
And this is wonderful that you have that we've got this list in your book. Again, the book is called Find Your Purpose in Life by Dr. Greg Janse, who I'm talking to right now. One of the things that I think is such a challenge to all of us, even as you're talking about that, Greg, you know, those three things that you're talking about, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, but that's all very well. But the world we live in right now is so overwhelmingly negative in so many ways. How do we deal with that?
Yes, it's where we put our point of focus.
Mm-hmm.
Point of focus. That's where am I putting my attention every day solely on news that could be tainted? Look, where am I putting all my energy? Is it in social media? How am I spending my time, my point of focus? Do I need to work on renewing my mind and God's word? So important. And to think about, you will become like the 3 to 5 people you hang out with. So where's your point of focus? Is it God says you have a future and a hope?
Oh, wow.
And so we need to claim that verse from Jeremiah 29:11.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You know, funny that you said you will become like the people you hang out with. I used to say that to my children all the time. Kids, if you hang out with sewer rats, you'll become a sewer rat. So don't hang out with sewer rats.
There you go.
Because
right.
That's so true. Because, you know, that's what you absorb it. You start to imitate
yes.
it. We are imitators. So we that's exactly what happens. And slowly but surely you suddenly find, you know, and I often used to use the analogy of, you know, walking around with your pants hanging down, you know, if you walk,
yep.
if you, you
yep.
know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's very interesting to see that you've actually been able to capture all of these things in this book. Wow, it's fantastic. It's great. It's absolutely great.
And we all, whether you feel it or not, you do have a purpose and a plan.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, you think about, is it too late? No. God redeems the years. We're told God redeems the years of the locust when things were, and you'll watch him multiply time in your life.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You obviously you've got a whole ministry, Dr. Janse, with that deals with sort of the emotional, the structural side of who we are as human beings. Because yes, we are also, you know, we're physical, but with so much of who we are and what we are comes from that sort of emotional, mental state that we get ourselves into. But you know, you talk about though. The spiritual and the faith side of this. How important is that? I mean, do you find that when you have your patients that come, you know, are there ones that you're able to heal without any spiritual or faith base?
Well, God designed the whole person, and whole person care means I address the body, mind, and spirit, and I have to do that, I think, for you to have long-term sustainable recovery, long-term healing. And so let's look at and be open to, even if there's been wounds or church hurt, whatever it is, we need to bring about some healing so we can address the issues of the whole person.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. How do you create, one of the things you say is to create a personal mission statement. How do we do that? What is that?
Oh, a mission
process?
Statement.
Yeah.
It's fun. We have, we work on that as a family. It may be Gen 1 and Gen 2 might have slightly different mission statements. You're going to write down gifts and talents and what God has given you to steward. And as we get a sense of purpose, we start to really live out a mission. And it's usually one, two sentences. And it's just a way to identify the direction and a mission that God has given you. And it's fun to do. And maybe you'll journal over a period of time and things will start to come out. But you think of the, where we hear, you know, the elevator speech. What can you say about yourself in 20 seconds? That's your mission statement.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's quite a challenge, though. I remember once I was doing, I think it was the Franklin Planner, program. I don't know if people have heard of that Franklin Planner, but it's a wonderful system. But that was one of the things that they had us do, is to do this whole thing where you could say, you know, you could think it in your mind, and you know,
yes,
by the time you got up or down the stairs, your mission statement or your purpose was already through. You'd got through it, so that you could then go forward and start your day. So I'm thinking it's probably similar to that, but it took a while for us to build it. So it's a thoughtful process. It's a very thoughtful process, for sure.
Yes.
What is the sunset of our imagination? That's a very interesting phrase. The sunset of imagination. Why is this important?
Well, one of the things that we want to look at, imagination. God has given us creativity, and I think it's so important to keep dreams alive. Now, I'm 64 years old. I will never be a NBA basketball player. That's not what I'm called to do. Okay. So, but we keep our dreams alive, and at different stages in our life, there's different things that God has called us to do. And so if I say the sunset of my imagination, I begin to kind of turn off possibilities that God has for me. So don't sunset the imagination, what God may want to do with you. Keep that alive, and just keep God's word inside you. God still has plans.
Wow, wonderful. Final question for you, and this is fascinating. Again, the book is called Find Your Purpose in Life by Dr. Greg Jantz. And you can just go there to his website, and all his books will pop up on his own website. I'll put the website up on the web, on our website, so that you'll have it there. The final section, you end your book with giving yourself gifts. Why do you say that?
Well, you know, be careful with it. It's not a, you know, I'm not telling you to go out and spend a bunch of money on frivolous gifts.
Yeah.
But, you know, really acknowledging your progress and the gift of, you know, sometimes there's a gift of relationships. God's given us a lot of gifts. I'm saying enjoy God's goodness. Yeah. And there's times where we work hard and we need a reward. It's okay. I'm not saying go overboard, but acknowledging our progress can be very important.
Absolutely. Again, I will give you the update here, and it is drgregoryjantz.com and then /books if you want to go straight to his books. Otherwise, there is also a podcast. He's got a blog. You've got all kinds of wonderful things there. You can book Dr. Greg to come and speak at your event. So all wonderful things that we can do by going to his website. So please make sure you do that. Dr. Gregory Jantz, again, thank you so much for being on the program, and we'll have you back again to talk about your next book very soon. It's called Triumph Over Trauma. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good to be with you today.
Take care. And God bless you lots. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.